Good afternoon. Welcome to the Eco News Report. I'm your host this week, Craig Tucker, board member of Friends of the Ill River. The Eco News Report is an exclusive feature of KHSU, brought to you by the North Coast Environmental Center, publisher of our regional environmental newspaper, the Eco News Report. Don't forget, you can find this show and other KHSU public affairs shows on the Audible Archives page at khsu.org. My guest today is Scott Grayson, Conservation Director at Friends of the Ill River. How are you today, Scott?
I'm pretty good. How are you doing, Craig?
I'm doing great.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's fun to turn the tables on you and put you in the hot seat for once, and I'll do the interviewing today. How about that?
It's not like we've ever disagreed about anything, no. So this will be fun. Yeah.
Well, today is a hot topic here in Humboldt County and all over California and really all over the United States, and that is the legalization of marijuana and the regulations that will govern the production of recreational marijuana here in Humboldt County. So it's a complicated topic, but Scott, maybe you can kind of give us a brief rundown of, you know, where we are with our cannabis regs in Humboldt County.
Well, there's a bunch of different ways to look at this, but one important starting place is just the rules that are changing. And as most of our listeners in the North Coast know, Humboldt County created a program to permit legal medical marijuana grows a couple of years ago in 2015. So we've got an existing framework for some permitted grows. The county is now working on what they're calling the Commercial Cannabis Land Use Ordinance that will allow additional permits to be issued to, well, part of the problem is we don't know how many new permits, but basically for commercial cultivation of, as you said, recreational or, as the current term of art is, adult use cannabis, as distinct from medical cannabis.
So we have a set of rules and regulations on the books that tell you when and where and what the process is to get a permit to grow marijuana for medical purposes. And now we are going through another process to figure out what the rules are pertaining to the so-called recreational purpose.
Roughly right. But what's really important about that first set of rules, the medical rules for Humboldt, is that in order to say that they were going ahead with a project that didn't have any really big environmental impacts, what we call under the California Environmental Quality Act or CEQA, significant environmental impacts that must be mitigated if they're significant, the county said they were just going to issue permits to either existing operations that roughly fit, at least, the county's standards for low-impact cultivation, or new operations on existing zoned ag land. So places where the impacts of cultivation would sort of already be factored into our existing environmental impact understanding of what's happening on those lands. So bottom line then is that under that 2015 ordinance, there's a relatively limited number of people who could qualify for permits. Now, relatively limited doesn't actually mean very limited. There were, at that point, probably 10 to 12,000 existing outdoor operations, an unknown number of indoor operations, which could have applied for permits. And I don't know how far we want to go down the rabbit hole of what happened to the people who did apply for permits, but roughly speaking, the county got about 2,000 applications. About half of them basically never actually proved up and never completed their applications. And of those who completed their applications, about half got issued permits. And there's an ongoing situation now, a question about whether the county is going to now issue what they're calling interim permits to people who haven't gotten full permits under that 2015 ordinance. So that's one of the questions on the table right now. But the big play that has most of our attention is basically opening up permits to operations that weren't already allowed in. And so now we're looking at, in terms of the environmental impacts, an environmental impact report. So the county has done what at least is supposed to be an analysis of the impacts of this larger program. And so now the county's actually proposing to issue an unlimited number of additional permits under this new set of rules.
So if I get that right, then there was somewhere around 1,000 current permitted grows for medical purposes. Those grows would quickly be approved for recreational growing permits. But then they've sort of thrown open the barn door, and whoever wants to apply, there's really no cap on the number of permits. Is it limited by how land is zoned? So, I mean, is there a certain number of parcels in Humboldt County that's zoned appropriately, and does that kind of create a de facto cap on permits?
Well, the new proposal, which until it's actually passed by both the Planning Commission and then the Board of Supervisors, isn't actually fixed, so we don't know what its final form is, would limit cultivation to certain zoning areas. So it would not allow new commercial cultivation operations, for example, on lands that are zoned as timber production zone.
Okay.
So, yeah, to a certain extent, there's some zoning provisions that would limit places where these new commercial permits could be issued. But we and various other environmental groups have, throughout this process and over the last, you know, 5-10 years, consistently said, you know, we need to limit the overall impact of this industry on our watersheds, and particularly on watersheds that have endangered fish in them. Coho salmon, steelhead, particularly, as I've said many times, were driven to the edge of extinction by timber and timber-related impacts, but the weed industry is now what's driving them to extinction. And I don't think it's really possible to exaggerate these impacts. And there's a lot of defensiveness around these questions in this county for obvious reasons. There's a lot of people's economic well-being is tied up in this industry, but you know, the bottom line for me at Friends of the Eel is that we have created a set of impacts, a suite of cumulative effects. We've taken too much water out, and most of all, we put too much dirt into the creeks, the tributaries that the salmon and the steelhead have to have to spawn and to raise their young. And again, you know, coho and steelhead come up from the ocean. They spawn in these streams where they have evolved for millions of years, and then they have to stay in freshwater for a year, for a full year before they can go out to the sea. So they need cold, clean water. And when we use old logging roads as access roads to our homesteads or to, you know, our grow sites, when we grade off big chunks of land on the top of these highly erosive ridges, when we build bad stream crossings that can't handle, you know, the impacts of our, you know, high traffic loads, we wind up creating these impacts that make it impossible for the fish to survive, which is saying something for fish this resilient.
Well, let's sort of have a qualifier. It's not that Friends of the Eel River is opposed to cannabis farming.
No.
But it's a matter of just, you know, it doesn't matter if it's growing alfalfa or growing cannabis or logging or whatever it is, if it's affecting the fish in the Eel River watershed, we want it to be done in a way that's appropriate, that allows those fish to survive.
And it's not the weed.
Right.
It's really the development that accompanies cultivation in this particular geographic context. And in a lot of ways, it's easy to see that you can grow marijuana in, you know, Washington or Colorado without any impacts on our salmon. You can grow marijuana in the Central Valley in places where they've already extirpated salmon completely. You can grow marijuana in places in Humboldt without any real environmental impact. But what we are doing now, what we have been doing for the last couple of decades in basically building this vast black market industry, is creating an industry that has very serious impacts on our watersheds here in Humboldt County, especially in key tributaries of the Eel River and the Mattole.
So, you know, I don't want to dwell too much. I think people are pretty familiar conceptually with the impacts. You suck water out of a stream, fish can't survive without water. So
yeah.
I think generally speaking, people understand the impacts. But so the county is proposing these new regulations, and they had to comply with California's probably most bedrock environmental law, the California Environmental Quality Act. They're required to do an environmental impact report to sort of explain what the environmental impact. So what does the county's environmental impact report, or EIR, what does it show, and does it do a fair job of really explaining to the public what the impacts are?
Alas, it does not. And I wrote 32, 33 pages of comments to try to explain the ways in which that document falls short of the kind of analysis we think is necessary here. But, you know, the short version is basically that the county did not take the hard look, didn't do the careful, detailed analysis of what is actually out there. Where are the existing operations? What is their relationship to those critical spawning reaches? We know where the fish are. We know where the fish have been. We know where the fish are getting extirpated right now by bad operations. The county didn't look at that because, frankly, my take is the county wants to issue permits to operations that sort of fit in the little box. But what they don't want to have to do is take responsibility for the existing industry. And the problem, of course, is that the existing industry is there because the county has failed to ever enforce its land use rules. We've had ordinances on the books for years, decades in some cases, that would have prevented many of these harms. And that's not just zoning rules about where you can have a house or a big grow op. That's also the grading ordinance, which says that if you move more than 50 cubic yards of soil, you have to have a permit. We found 400 unlicensed grading operations with, you know, hardly any work at all 3 years ago, just looking at Google Earth. You know, the county has thousands of these impacts that it is allowed to happen without ever really doing any enforcement on it.
Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Craig Tucker. I'm on the board of directors of Friends of the Ill River, and this is the Eco News Report. The guest today is Scott Grayson, the conservation director for Friends of the Ill River, and we're talking about Humboldt County's promulgation of new regulatory restrictions and guidelines for cultivating cannabis for recreational purposes. So Scott, you were talking about we've sort of created, or the county sort of created, this problem over the years through lack of enforcement. And I think early on, you know, the culture here, there were a lot of the so-called hippies that moved up from the Bay Area. There was just counterculture movement, and cultivating marijuana was a big part of that. It was sort of a back to the lander kind of movement in a lot of ways. But this has really changed in recent years. You want to talk a little bit about how the industry's changed, and it's really, as opposed to being counterculture, it's really looking more like good old-fashioned capitalism, right?
Yeah, and we could easily spend a half hour just talking about this rich vein of cultural history. But, you know, as you said, the back to the landers came up here from the city, or came out here because there was a bunch of land cheap that had been very badly abused. People moved onto that land, in some cases, you know, started doing restoration that's been spectacularly successful. But I think where the hippies and the rednecks met and agreed was on this fundamental value that we want to be left alone. You know, we want the we want no cops. We don't need any government. We're fine, which is great when you don't have very many people, when you still have real natural abundance. But what that created as a sort of cultural policy was a door that's always propped open, and you don't really know who's coming in. And, you know, the big thing that happened is that in 1996, we, the citizens of California, finally passed a sort of semi-legalization law, which Prop 215 basically said you can cultivate weed for medical uses, or at least you have a defense to potential criminal charges. And that led to a real sea change in how weed gets grown in Humboldt. We saw the emergence of greenhouses as a sort of cultural phenomenon. But it also created, I think, a new set of incentives by allowing open cultivation, open commercial cultivation, without any real limits, as, say, Mendocino County to our south really enforced, we created a situation where we got the green rush, you know, what we've been calling the green rush to evoke the gold rush. And that is a phenomenal expansion in the number and the size and the impact of growing operations. And we've seen that since 1996, you know, especially since 2005, those numbers just keep going up and up and up and up. And, you know, the consequences ripple out across not just our environment and our watersheds, but through our culture and our society. And some of that is actually coming home to roost in terms of a market that seems to be glutted now. So people, you know, are having a hard time selling weed.
Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about that, because when we start talking about the rush, you know, the gold rush, the green, it really creates this sort of, you know, bubble that eventually pops.
Every boom brings a bust.
Boom brings a bust. So, and we all know, we don't have to, you know, there's been plenty of studies to show this, but everyone who lives here knows that our economy is intimately tied to marijuana production. And if we're not careful, so I think everyone, whether you're, you know, smoke pot or don't smoke pot, or everyone who lives here has an economic interest. Not only are we worried about the environment and worried about water quality and fish, we all have an economic interest in how this is handled. So talk a little bit about, you know, what is the demand? I mean, how much marijuana can we smoke in California?
Well, and that's the question, is production for who?
Yeah.
Because right now we are creating a legal system for cultivating cannabis, growing marijuana, however you want to call it, for California, which means people are getting permits to cultivate and to sell to distributors who will distribute in California. This is a really important qualifier, because pot's still federally illegal. It's still a Schedule One substance.
So you can't take it across state lines.
You can't take it across state lines. Federal agencies are refusing to touch anything that has to do with weed. The DEA still reserves all of its jurisdiction and has the power to come bust people right now. But the federal government has, up till now, said to Colorado, to Arizona, to Washington, to Oregon, all these states that have embarked on some form of legalization or another, that they will stay out if you do some important things. And the most important of those things is keeping your weed out of the national black market. So here we come to Humboldt. And we have now had, you know, very capable analyses of how much weed we're using in the state of California. That looks like about 2.5 million pounds. We've got a rough estimate, pretty defensible, of how much we're producing in the North Coast, which Humboldt is, of course, just a subset of, about 4.1 million pounds.
So the demand is 2.5 million.
Both legal and illegal demand in California is projected under legalization in 2018 to be about 2.5 million pounds, about 1.25 million pounds each in legal and illegal consumption.
Per year.
Per year, total state of California.
Okay.
State of California is now producing a total of about 12 million pounds per year.
So I didn't take economics. I was a science guy. So what happens, pray tell, what happens when production is far greater than demand?
I was a political scientist, sorry. I think we both know that the answer is that prices drop when there's an oversupply. And that's what we're hearing, is that, you know, there's way too much production. But, you know, what I was getting at is not just the situation that a lot of growers are facing now of having a hard time selling weed for even $1,000 a pound, where 10 years ago prices were significantly higher, but even a situation where people have been selling at $300 a pound, you know, where they can't even make money. They're looking to mitigate their losses. But there's a bigger question here, which is, given that Humboldt County, you know, has so much production now, there's another way to look at it, which is, how many acres do we need to meet California's demand?
Okay.
We need about 1,100 acres is what Hezekiah Allen and the California Growers Association has suggested. That's to meet all of California's demand. Now, remember I was talking about that 2015 medical permitting ordinance that the county has in effect? Okay. The total applications for that came in with a total of 1,250 acres of cultivation. Now, not all of those applications came in complete. Not all of them got issued permits. Not all of them should be issued permits is what it looks like to us because many of them don't comply. But the point is that Humboldt County, in that limited offering of permitting that we've already conducted, already had the total number of acres proposed for production that all of California can absorb in its legal market. Now, there are 59 counties in California, and it's pretty clear that other counties want a piece of this business too. So what, you know, what are we thinking? What's the total number going to be? Are we really thinking that we're going to give permits to all of the existing 10,000, 12,000 operations out there on the landscape now? We can't be. We cannot possibly be, partly because many of them do not ever and cannot fit in, you know, the kinds of boxes we need them to fit into in order to be low impact operations. Many of them are just on completely unsuitable sites.
Is this point that 1,100 acres of cultivation, 1,100 acres of land being under cultivation would supply the entire statewide demand?
Bingo.
Is that being discussed in this environmental impact report? Because it seems like the economics of that and the environmental impacts...
It's not being discussed at all. I had to add up the numbers to get to 1,250. It wasn't even stated explicitly. And when I asked our planning director about this summer, about this question of overproduction, his response was, well, you know, they're doing a lot with oils these days. The suggestion was basically that, well, maybe we can actually produce a lot more than that and the market will find a way to absorb it. And, you know, this strikes me as wishful thinking. And, you know, I don't feel like the county is taking seriously this overwhelming reality that we have something like an order of magnitude more production in Humboldt County than we can legally permit or than we can ecologically support.
Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Craig Tucker, and this is the Eco News Report. The guest today is Scott Grayson, Conservation Director for Friends of the Eel River, talking about Humboldt County's promulgation of new regulatory restrictions and guidelines for cultivating cannabis for recreational purposes. Well, it just seems like bad. In addition to all these horrific impacts to our fishery, it just seems like bad economic policy, because if the price of marijuana plummets, it probably means the price of my house is going to plummet. It probably means I'm going to have neighbors that are out of work and depend on social services or can't pay their taxes. I mean, to me, it looks like in addition to setting ourselves up for an environmental disaster by allowing as many permits as, you know, you want, we're just not managing economically the way our economy needs to work to keep us all gainfully employed and make a living here.
I think what you're saying is that the county hasn't dealt with this in a way that prevents a bust.
Yeah.
And the sad problem is that we haven't. We haven't at all. And I'm not sure there's any way back from that. I think we're facing a bust. And, you know, it's very likely that that's going to result in, as you say, lower land prices, unemployment, real distress for real families who are having trouble now putting food on the table right now. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of that. And I think that we are looking at the potential for a lot more of that. And frankly, I think we need to be very concerned, not just about fish, but about kids, about, you know, all the human beings, you know, caught in this trap.
So before we wrap up, so maybe you can talk a little bit about, you've seen the EIR.
Yeah.
You're really familiar with what the county is trying to promulgate in terms of an ordinance. What do we need to do in order to have your cannabis cultivation done here right? What does it doing it right look like?
Yeah, well, I think we start with, we need a limited number of operations And we need them to be sited in places that really are low impact for our fisheries, for our watersheds. We need them to be operated in ways that are low impact. In order to know what those places are, we need to do the analysis that the county has failed to do so far, completely refused to do, in order to make sure that people are doing only those low impact operations and not the 10,000 existing bad operations. We need effective enforcement. And just to sketch that, we are looking right now at the county expanding its current code enforcement team from 3 to 5. Now, back of the envelope calculations suggest that they need 30 code enforcement officers just to keep up with 2,000 permits.
So they're proposing 5 guys or right. men and women would keep up with
5 people.
What, 5,000 permits, 10,000?
We don't know. They haven't defined that landscape, but what we do know is that 5 code enforcement officers cannot possibly keep up with the several hundred existing permits. That's too much workload for them to even keep on top of. So it's heartening to note that the county has finally started to issue a few notices of nuisance enforcement, you know, on some operations mm-hmm. in the Honeydew area and the Willow Creek area that people are blatantly refusing to comply with the law. But we're looking at actions that are affecting maybe a fraction of a percent of all the operations mm-hmm. out there. It is going to require hundreds of people to identify and shut down and remediate all of these operations. It's going to cost millions of dollars and, you know, there's going to be resistance.
Well, Scott, I just want to say I've always been impressed. You were one of the first folks in the community, I think, that sort of blew the whistle on this problem. I think you went out and documented in aerial flights what our watersheds look like from the air.
Google Earth is what did it, but yeah.
Well, I think you're one of the few people who really stood up and confronted this problem. I think a lot of people, because of the longstanding relationship between Humboldt County and the counterculture movement that really started cannabis cultivation in this area, I think people didn't want to, you know, take this on as an environmental problem and an economic problem that it is. So I really appreciate the work you're doing.
Thanks.
And I'm glad we have you out there. And I hope the county will look at your EIR comments and make some changes. And, you know, we can move forward in the future and have cannabis cultivation in a way that ensures that our salmon survive for the next generation.
Thanks, Craig.
This has been the Eco News Report. My name is Craig Tucker, and I've been your host for the past half hour. I was speaking with Scott Greason from Friends of the Ill River. If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call our listener comment line at 707-826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again on the archived programs page of the station's website at khsu.org. The Eco News Report is produced at Humboldt State University in cooperation with the North Coast Environmental Center. Tune in again next week at this time for the next Eco News Report.